I tell you, saints, I want to talk about God this morning. I want to mention Jesus this morning. You know, the man was speaking earlier about how can someone stand and not declare, after looking at all that God's done, and not declare his handiwork, not give recognition to the God of creation. You know, what amazes me even more is how they can stand and hold in their hand at the book and not be impressed.
Amen, brother.
You know, that's always, I can see how someone could overlook that. But to have a book to be as consistent as it is and to say the kind of things that it says, that's remarkable.
Amen.
To make mention of the things, of the work that God has done in Christ Jesus, just supersedes the work that he did in creation. I mean, I stand in awe at that short work that God made upon the earth that he did in that one man. That he took many, many sinful men and incorporated them, fashioned them into one new creature. That's amazing.
Amen.
That's amazing. I mean, I wouldn't even do that. I mean, when Mike was telling the story of how they built this church house, he said they took wood from here, wood from there, termite-infested wood, spider-infested wood, and here you go. He said, I wouldn't have done that. I just wouldn't have done it. I would have tried to start with something real good and real fine. I wouldn't have tried to salvage anything.
Amen, brother.
And God wasn't either. God's work was had superseded what he started in eternity past, which this little bitty earth and the heavens that it contained, I mean, that it sits in. And so, as you know, I made an attempt, I'll say it that way. I made an attempt to go to Canada last month. I say an attempt because, you know, I got on the land, that's about it. So when I crossed the border, you know what they told me? They said, you got to turn around and go back. They told me, your criminal record, it makes you inadmissible to Canada. And so I sort of looked at the guy sort of funny. I said, now it doesn't, I asked him, I said, that doesn't matter that all that was happening, you know, some 14 years ago. God said, no. And so what really stuck out about it was not that he told me I had to leave, but how he said it. You know, the guy said, now you need to leave. Now, if you don't, we can detain you and then deport you. I said, that's all right. He said, no, but you need to leave immediately. That's how he said it. He said, you need to leave immediately. I said, all right, well, you just hold on. I'll get my family. We'll go. Okay. No, you don't need to deport or detain or anything with a D. We'll go. All right. No, I ain't going to be messed up with that.
Amen, Amen.
So we turn around and come on back to the United States, you know, and so, but they didn't stop nothing. They didn't stop anything. As we were driving back, you know, at first it sort of felt like a kick in the gut, actually did. But as I got to thinking, and a brother told me, he said, now you remember something. He said, though that may be a hiccup, he said, you remember Galatians 2, 19 and 20, which says, for through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Why? For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I have to give testimony because I told you I wanted to talk about Jesus. I tell you, I thank God that that's not me. That man no longer is in existence anywhere. Yet not I. Not that man previously. It's been crucified, dead, and gone. I said, yeah, they may sort of bring it up, but who is that? Who is that? I said, isn't that you? No. No, it's not. You know, so when I first, that sort of inkling of a kicking in the gut sort of came upon me, but then I got to realize, you know, that's not me. Though they may say it's me, but they've got the wrong man. That man, as I recall, has been crucified. Though they might not ever understand that because they don't really understand the experience that I've been through. That experience is not a hell raiser on the street. I'm talking about one in Christ. That's what the experience, and I don't think they'll understand that. It makes the door wide open for testimony. But they don't understand my experience. When I tell them, no, that's not me. Really? Absolutely. So he says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Why does it do such a thing? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But that's not just the good part. It gets better. Verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, that is from that particular time forward on into eternity, from henceforth should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now you see, not only is that the problem of every lost man, but it is also the problem of saved folks. Living unto themselves. That's the problem. That is the epitome of selfishness, which is the root of all sin. Selfishness. So you find Christians being selfish, who, as they said, live unto themselves. But the Bible encourages us that once he that has died for all, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves. That's an encouragement. That's something that he says you should not do. You should not do. And that was the root of that old man's problem. That's the root of most folks' problem. Too busy, cumbered about living unto themselves. You know? Too busy. But you see, the good thing about it is that I've been quickened. Understand that term? I mean, ever since I've learned of that, I've just enjoyed the truth of that reality in my own life. That I have actually, for lack of a better term, just entered into it in all of its truth and just allowed that to rule and reign in my understanding and the dictates by which I conduct myself in this present life. I've been quickened. Now, I can give testimony of that. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1-5, you hath he quickened, past tense, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. But it keeps going. In the mouth of two or at the most three witnesses, let every word be established. And so we'll give it three. Colossians 2:12-13. Buried with him in baptism. Wherein, that is this baptism, thank God it's not the water. Thank God when Paul speaks of that one baptism in Ephesians 4, he was not mentioning water. Buried with him in baptism, wherein this baptism also ye are risen. Now that's why I want to give glory to God. It's just not complete for us to die with him. Though that's a good truth. That's a starting point. That's an answer. But then God just didn't want to leave us there. He meant to raise us again. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who, speaking of God, hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. Now, here we go, the Bible interpreting itself. From the previous verse, which is verse 12, he just defined for you what quickened was. For he said in verse 12, ye are risen with him. Then in verse 13, he tells us He quickened together, us quickened together with him. So we understand to be quickened is to be raised again. To be raised again. It's to be made alive as Christ was made alive. Now, men, if you have at this present moment been made alive, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You are in actuality lost. Now, again, I could stand at the threshold of Niagara Falls and then in my mind sort of lift up and look up to God and just sort of, you know, God, this is magnificent. Or stand on the Grand Canyon as I did when I went out to Arizona and look upon that great chasm there and say, wow, maybe this happened in the flood of Lucifer. And be impressed. But nothing as remarkable as I can stand before you this morning and say, I have been quickened and risen again with him. Nothing surpasses that. You see, I can't live in the Grand Canyon. I mean, I can, but who won't do that? I mean, I could camp out there at Niagara Falls, but so what? But I'll tell you, to live day in and day out, risen anew, I tell you, that's just what's the word? Common to most people. Yeah, I'm raised again. Yeah, we've been buried. We've been crucified. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Good. Yeah, move on. No, sir, hold on. Let's just stop right there. Let's just ponder this reality of being risen again. Now, what does that say in effect? That tells me that yet not I, but that old man's dead. It gives testimony to something that happened to me. Not that I'm trying to create in my experience. So I'm not trying to reenact being raised anew. Which some people believe that. They're trying to play out in their Christian experience as a type. In type. They're being raised again. Therefore, they miss the whole concept. They miss the whole truth. But he says here, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I praise God this morning for the work that he does. I mean, it's awe-stricken to realize the depth that God went to and stooping to become so humble as to become a man and then incorporate sinful men into that one body. Because it is not apart from Christ, but with him that I've been raised. That I've been quickened as you have. That's an amazing word. He says, now just in case you're not satisfied with that definition, Jesus said it in John chapter 5, verse 21. And as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, that is the dead, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So right in the same verse, he gives you an explanation of the terms vice versa. Raised up the dead is quickened. Quickened is raising up the dead. I mean, that's remarkable. I mean, we don't have to pull interpretations out of the hat. It's right there for us. He says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Amen, amen.
That's right, amen.
The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. Now, Colossians, again, 3:1. He says, now, since that is your experience, Tremaine, he goes a step further. Since that is your actuality, if ye then be risen with Christ, if, not say amen, I have, no doubt about it. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I tell you, I've been saved going on, it'll be 15 years next year. Yeah, 14 years and some months, and I've still been seeking those things which are above. As a result of the basis foundation being risen with him. Being risen with him. You see, I don't seek those things so as to be risen. I'm already risen, therefore I seek them. My heart's affections have turned in that direction, therefore that's what I seek. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on those, on things above. Now that's a good question. I mean, it's not a question, but I'm asking you a good question. Do you set your affections on things above? Yeah, I mean, I know that it's times are getting rough. Gas is going up. You know, that's pretty rough. Especially when you have an 8-cylinder. It's $56, you know, right off the bat. I got to work all day for that. You know, set your affections on things above. You know, that's the one thing that's going to keep you through hard times. Is the affections being set on things above. It's understanding the truth of 2 Corinthians 5, where he tells us that these things are temporal that we look at. Yes, it's chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, now that's a reality. That kind of thing right there, the world won't understand our perspective. You see, that's the kind of stuff that'll get you through 8 years of incarcerment. You know, that kind of stuff you need to pass on to the youngins, because that in hard times, you're going to have to see something that transcends what is seen. That's going to keep you. And the heart is going to have to be set. Your affections are to be set on things above and not on things on the earth. That includes this flesh. This flesh. Verse 3, for ye are dead, amen, amen.
Amen, brother.
Ye are not going to be, not shall be, but as now are dead in your life. Now, I just love this. I mean, this is just great. I mean, if ye are dead is the cake, this next part is the icing and the candles. For ye are dead, and your life, which you now live in the flesh, is hid with Christ in God. If Christ is in God, and thine life is in Christ, then you have double security. It's in Christ who is in God. That's under lock and key. My vitality. Now hear me now. Let me say it this way. The life that I am now living is based on the fact that I am living with him. Let me prove that to you in Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now this is popular. You know this. He says, Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says, now, presently, right here, right now, if we be dead with Christ, look what he says, we believe that we shall also live with Christ. So the living, the vitality that is with Christ is the same as the death that is with Christ. So my living, just like my death was, is based on Christ. And so therefore, you exist. Not apart, not separate from his majesty, but incorporated and partakers of him, of his flesh, of his bone, and of his body. You live because he lives. You are risen because he is risen. Everything you have coming to you is because everything is designed and destined and came from him. All your predestination is based on him. Well, I'll just show it to you. It says that we shall be, in Romans it says, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. in the image of his son. Now, anyway, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life. Now, look at that. It said that Christ personally is your very life. Now, I don't know if a lot of people believe that, but I take him literally. I take him actually. That as I stand before you living and breathing, I see that the reason why is because Christ is my life. Not only my eternal life, not only as the means from which I escape the consequences of hell, but the reason why I have the quality of life that I have now, the reason why I live, actually, the reason why I live is because he is our life. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In glory. Now, I still to this day anticipate that. You see, right now, as it looks, I have tattoos. I have a little bit of gray when it comes in. My hair is a little bit thin. I'm not as tall as most folks. I'm not as fast as I used to be. You know, I remember one time I was being chased out of the mall. And so I was being chased out of the mall. Police was all on side of me, and they was coming, and I was zigging and zagging through the aisles there. And I was jumping on top of cars trying to get away from the guys. You know, I didn't care. I'm going to get caught. So I'm leaping on cars just trying to get away. I don't think I'll do that now. You know, I think they'll catch me real quick. You know, especially if I got my family with me. Can't run and leave them. You know? As the Christ shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. See, I thank God that it is at his appearing is when I shall appear, that my manifestation shall come. He says in Romans chapter 6, last couple verses, 9 in. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That's good, but that's not my point. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it, that is the mortal body, in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Now here is the apex. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. As those that are alive from the dead. I mean, that's rich. Thanks, that's rich. And he says, now, Tremaine, when you look in the mirror, reckon that all that you do, the reason why now you can live like you live is because you are as those that are alive from the dead. So that tells me that I did undergo a death. Not a figurative death, not a spiritual death, but a death in literal that ended something, that terminated a life that was ransacked with nothing good. And so God was not trying to remake my old life, thank God for that, but that he said, I'm just going to raise you anew as those that are alive from the dead. Therefore, yield your members, yield yourself because of that fact. I mean, that's rich thing.